Chapter 4. The Truth of the Mysteries. When a neophyte wants to step onto the liberating path of the alchemical wedding and walk it successfully, then, like Christian Rosycross, he or she has to fathom many mysteries. Therefore, it is good to speak in more detail about the nature and goal of the holy mysteries, for if the pupil is truly concerned in finding the light, he or she cannot penetrate deeply enough into the essence of the alchemical wedding. The knowledge of the mysteries is fundamental to every development, and the nature of the mystery school is the clearest proof of the divine grace, the love of he who does not forsake of the work of his hands. The word mystery can translate into something hidden. There are three hidden things, three fundamental mysteries for the dialectical person: where we come from, what we are, and where we are going. These three fundamental mysteries are the three original grades of true Freemasonry. These three hidden things are interwoven to such an extent with the whole of humanity that every person, whether an individual or a member of a community or group, searches for answers to these three fundamental questions. When a part of humanity fell, the mysteries spontaneously arose. Since the beginning of the human fall, the reality of God has been hidden and separated from humanity. To the extent humanity sank deeper, even the last remnant of memory was obliterated right down to the blood. The Bible explains, however, that the light itself descended with fallen humanity as a divine aid, as the possibility of redemption accompanying all those who have gone astray. The light does not want to be a mystery, to be hidden, for it calls, waves, and knocks, but it remains a mystery for dialectical humanity because the darkness cannot see the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, says the prologue of the Gospel of John. We shall understand, therefore, that nothing is more readily accessible in our midst than the mysteries of God. All the things of this world are infinitely more mysterious and hidden. We experience the light of God as something hidden, because the vibration of our fallen state cannot affect the reality of infinite love. We state with emphasis that the mystery in and of itself is no mystery. Our dialectical erring state is the veil between us and the divine reality. When we speak of a mystery school, it is not a school full of mysteries, but a shining reality that we can approach, that we can possess when we are able to wrench aside the veils that we ourselves have woven. Three rays now pierce through this veil into the heart of our system. Three highly magnetic influences approach us from the hidden sanctuary. They awaken us to the knowledge of God, the knowledge of ourself, and to the imminent transfiguration. We said, this threefold activity of the gnosis stirs every human being, just as the sunlight affects every living creature. And every person reacts. All people respond to the threefold call of the divine mystery. We can find abundant evidence of this everywhere. All nature religiousness, all forms of humanism, all dialectical human striving from the coarsest to the finest give their reply to the questions: where do I come from? What am I? And where am I going? Every art form, every science, and every religion concerns itself with these questions. Is not the philosopher occupied with human origin, being, and destination? Has not everything in our world become as it is today, in accordance with the representation that the philosophy of all times has created? The urging of the divine threefold radiation influence is so strong that even the most primitive people serve their gods and offer their sacrifices under the influence of the mysteries. People in our modern world who accumulate money and goods, who are satiated with wealth and do not know what to do with it, they do so in response to the same urge. You might find it strange that the person with the drive for many earthly possessions and the person seeking equality for all both react to the same urge. Yet on reflection, it will become clear. The instinct for possessions and its consequences, and the urge for freedom and its results are responses to insights regarding origin, being, and destination. Our ancestry can be poverty, oppression, or other troublesome circumstances, or great affluence. Our being is totally in conformity with that, and our intention is an activity to escape from the past or reach or maintain certain desirable conditions. Perhaps you still consider it unacceptable that all of this human behavior known to you should originate from the urging of the divine mysteries. Therefore, we have to look at this problem more closely. Imagine this image. You remove the cover of a pit, and because of the strong light shining into the pit, the insects flee in all directions. The creatures flee from the light into new hiding places. If the lid remains off, the insects gradually adapt to the new circumstances. However, they do not understand anything of the light. It is only a biological reaction. If the woodlice could think, hold concepts, and set up hypotheses about life, then, like human beings in the urge for life improvement, that is, a change of life based on purely biological conditions, they would occupy themselves with origin, being, and destination. We can conclude from this that we all live under the influence of the three fundamental mysteries. You can ask yourself, how then is it with me as a pupil of the school of the Rosy Cross? Is my presence here also a biological reaction, or is it something more? You will have to solve this question for yourself. If your ancestors, for example, practiced esotericism and searched for a solution in an occult or mystical way, then it is quite possible that your tendency to come to the Rosy Cross relates to this. Then you also react biologically to the radiations of the light, just like the woodlice. Someone can say, full of pride, "My father was also a Rosicrucian." Then one is in fact saying, without understanding it oneself, "I belong to the same biological group as my father. My father reacted in this manner to the radiation power of the three mysteries. I am doing the same." You will understand by now that the dialectical human being can react to the threefold radiation of the mysteries in three ways, broadly speaking, good, bad, or neutral. The large middle class of dialectical people who are neither good nor bad are among those who react neutrally, the colorless group that goes on just as unchanged as it came. They are the people who fit into a certain lawful order, a certain milieu, adapt completely to these circumstances, and are satisfied with them. After a whole string of incarnations, after countless turnings of the wheel, this human type has not learned anything. The revelation of John says about these people in fiery words, "Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." In contrast, the two other human types are in full movement. The person with a good or bad reaction is active and very quickly collides with the lawful boundaries of dialectics. This person suffers severe pain from time to time, the pain of confinement, limitation. In the biological reaction to the threefold radiation, this person is as if chased over this world without finding any real resting place. Such a person corresponds then to our life field, being kept in motion to prevent ultimate petrification. This is the grace granted to man by the threefold mystery. The quote from Revelation above further says, "Would that you were either cold or hot." Then the perpetual death of petrifaction would be averted. So you have to ask yourself to which dialectical type you belong, the cold or bad type, the hot or good type, or the no longer reacting type. At the same time, you need to examine whether and how far you have transcended the plane of ordinary nature. If you are standing on the ordinary plane of this world, then the hidden threefold divine urge is nothing more for you than the activity of either the ultraviolet light that emanates a breaking up effect, or the infrared light that emanates a driving on affect, or the uncovering, unmasking activity of X-rays. In other words, through this you are merely kept in motion, as to this world, in your natural state. Then you do not approach the divine mysteries, but the mysteries keep your wheel of life in motion. Then there is no question of removing the veils. But now you have your books, you visit the services and conferences, you converse with other pupils about Christ and his mission, and occupy yourselves with the problems of life. Have you in this way risen above the horizontal level, the horizontal plane of dialectics? Are you thereby approaching the sacred mystery that in essence is no mystery? You must confront and answer all these questions for yourself. They are the mysteries, the problems of your own life that correlate to the currently hidden divine secrets. You are in the process of leaving the horizontal line when you realize right into your blood that all pursuit on this horizontal plane is meaningless, that you have to take leave of the alternating play of good and evil. You are in the process of leaving the horizontal plane when you possess from within some awareness that there is another reality of life, which is inexplicable from the two earthly material and ether spheres. Do not claim too quickly that you possess this awareness, for it is possible that such a realization comes about from your books, or because we say it, or because the holy language speaks of it. The consciousness in question must be a living possession. If that is the case, then for you the divine mysteries will speak in another way. Then many doors will open on the way to the hidden sanctuary. It is known that there are 7 mystery schools. Some say that there is one for the Occident, one for the Orient, and so forth. But this is a mistaken belief. The threefold fundamental mystery must be approached in a 7-fold way. 7 steps are necessary to penetrate the veils, and all people, whether Easterners, Westerners, or any other type, go the same steps and the same path. You know the words from the prologue of the Gospel of John, "To all who receive him, he gives the power to become children of God." All who transcend the horizontal plane undergo the radiation power of the threefold divine mysteries differently than before, namely, in a liberating sense. The radiation power of the Gnosis becomes then a divine power to salvation, and on this way. To salvation, there are 7 phases to be distinguished. The neophyte who enters the first phase has become bodily and completely a pupil of the spiritual school, and all brothers and sisters will acknowledge and recognize him or her as such. No single error is possible, no difference of opinion or misunderstanding, for an absolute deed shows itself very clearly in every phase of the path. The pupil knows from where she comes. This means the knowledge concerning one's divine origin. One perceives the voice that has spoken and still speaks. "I say to you, you are gods." Those who know this possess an inward signature which is clearly recognizable in the entire being. The rose and the cross testifies of it. The pupil knows what he or she is. One knows oneself to be a sunken human being, possessing a totally defiled and disorganized reality of being, and that being in this state, one can no longer turn on the light. The pupil knows this right down to the smallest particle of his blood, and this knowledge has a signature. It profoundly penetrates the rose, which is the aura, and the cross, which is the personality. But this knowledge says live and be out of it. Moreover, the pupil knows where she is going. In other words, one consciously experiences the transcending of the horizontal plane. It is as if thankfulness, astonishment, and joy all arise at once and predominate in one's being. For one knows oneself seized by the light unto life. Thankfulness, that one is indeed able to go the path of transfiguration. Astonishment in that the great, intensive love of God proves its mercy. Joy in the meeting and continuation from power to power and from glory to glory, in the laying aside of the old self and the genesis of something completely new, in entering the gate of the Lord and being known by the brothers and sisters as a twice-born one. Christian Rosycross thought about all this on the evening before Easter, on the eve of celebrating his alchemical wedding. "Take care, therefore. The whole of humanity stands under the mysteries. You stand before the mysteries. You are called by them. Only the real pupil is connected with the mysteries. May we one day greet you so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."